Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Where'd the first hour go? God, that was
just
flying by.
Reliving that Georgia glory.
Birch Orthodontics. Yay, Birch Orthodontics. I've had to reskin. You know what? You know, this is real love. I'm going to tell a Birch Orthodontics story for you.
Good. I'll sit back and listen.
So last week, Bryce, my oldest son, was scheduled to go to Birch Orthodontics. At least that's what my wife told me. And she said, I need you to take him tomorrow morning. I can't do it. You need to get him there at this time. Make sure you get a doctor's notice, all that good stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, cool. It'd be nice to see Dr. Birch roll in. Got to do a little thing when you sit out in the parking lot where you call and let him know you're there so that they can have you come in. Era of COVID, after all. And so we pull in. And I'm like, hey, we're here. I'm even 5 minutes early, feeling good about it, doing the right thing. They're like, yeah, man, you don't have an appointment.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, what? No, he's here for his such and such appointment. They're like, nope, that's a week from today.
Oh, boy. But they snuck him in anyway.
Well, no, they couldn't do that because they were packed that day. They did say, hey, we'll see if we can. I said, no, screw it. I'll take him to school. He's missed enough. So I get him to school, call my wife. I was like, hey, yeah, man, no appointment today. I don't know where you got that from. But she apologized profusely. It happens, right? Yeah. I was like, it's just a waste of my time. It's okay. And then, we finished it. It was all right. But then she still felt bad that night. And I was like, honey, it's all right. We make mistakes. Just remember the next time I make one, which is very rare.
I've got
a freebie here.
It has happened on occasion. But yeah, I think Dr. Birch probably would have squeezed you in or just to listen to talk some football. Maybe you could have gone
perhaps,
in to talk some football.
But I don't want to pull the...
You should have. I'm sure Dr. Birch had no idea that would have happened. She's probably horrified hearing that story that you were made to wait out in the parking lot and then didn't even get in.
So.
Probably horrified.
So. Yeah,
what we've done for her? Are you kidding me?
Well, I didn't want to say to one of her many awesome assistants, hey.
One of her very attractive assistants?
you know what we need to do is, I mean, look, I'm not saying that Dr. Birch, you have to keep pace with Ben, but can we franchise Birch Orthodontics? Like, do only Tallahassee and Leon County kids get the benefit of having BirchOrthodontics.com?
Smart.
Can we expand it?
We're growing this business.
Get it to Atlanta. Get the footprint started in Atlanta, too. Absolutely.
But if you or your kids need orthodontic help, BirchOrthodontics.com is the website. They do free consultations. Best in the business. Just people. Mm. Great people. Mm. Knowles. And they will take care of you.
Want to say thank you to Khalil Young, who wrote in to say that he was told yesterday by an Alabama fan that 2013 FSU would lose to 2018 Clemson, 2020 Bama, and every SEC champion in the last 5 years.
Yep. Every SEC champion,
in the last 5 years.
Yeah. That checks out. Yeah. That checks out.
You know, the funny thing about the 13
It's lucky
team,
they were able to beat the 2013 SEC champion, though. They did do that.
Yep.
That happened.
The thing about the 13 team, and I just tweeted on the anniversary, everybody was talking about the anniversary on the 6th, that and I tweeted the depth chart. I think Florida State's top 22 was – unbelievable, and you add Jameis being the level he was playing at, could play with any national championship team of any era ever.
Yes.
The depth was not that great. When you look at the second
team. That's why staying healthy that year was very important. Yeah. They stayed really healthy.
Offensive line was rough.
Offensive line depth was not very good. Some of the receiver depth was not great. I mean, it's just they got very fortunate.
They did.
They
really didn't have any guys go down on that offensive line. Stork very briefly.
They didn't really have a starter go down, did they? Tyler Hunter was sort of a starter to start the season, and then they're like, I guess we'll go Jalen.
We'll put Jalen Ramsey in.
See what this does.
See if he works out. See if he can play. Gator Kirk writes, good morning. Looking forward to another entertaining year. Keep up the great work. Go Noles. Thank you, Gator Kirk. Brian writes, not a question, but I'll never take for granted our success again. Watching the national championship shows how far away we really are. Well, this is something we touched on to start the show. It does show that. Michael, as I type this, I have the natty on. Really makes me miss the past. I listened to Jimbo's commentary. Too bad I don't have a slow-mo button. Anyways, gents, as I was watching, which scenario do you prefer to take place for the next 6 years? A, Norvell winning 3 national titles and thus overtaking Miami as kings of the state.
Seems like a good one.
What would be even on?
Or B,
winning 4?
Meat winning a national title and Ham winning 3 national titles.
Oh.
And in fact, every Noles sport winning a national title, thus becoming the only school to have a natty in every sport.
Michael lives in a great
place. I'm going to say, and look,
man, this is fanciful.
For all of our future endeavors for our careers.
Three football national championships
is trumps any of that other stuff. And we'd love Meat to win one, and I'd love Ham to win three. Sorry, I didn't mean to snort laugh there. That was just seems like a lot. But yeah, I would still take football. I think football rules the day.
Or two national championships of football.
Even a national championship game. Just get to the game.
Win the ACC.
Just win the
Atlantic. Can we win
Atlantic.
The ACC?
Three Atlantic division titles.
Austin writes, and it's not our Austin, but I'm sure a very nice Austin nonetheless. Gentlemen, really loving the YouTube option to enable me to enact with you guys live. Much better than me yelling Jerry Rice at my radio.
Yeah, for real.
I feel like we would have got some instant reaction.
Yeah, if we had Jerry a chat episode going on, I think we'd have been corrected pretty quickly.
But now that we do have the chat, sadly, we'll never have such a great moment again.
Oh, yeah. There's no black Jerrys. I can't think of any
Jerry's
athletes
whatsoever.
Named Jerry. That's
yeah.
rough. That's crazy.
Like everybody is Jerry Rice.
Yeah, we went with Jerry Johnson.
Jerry Judy, yeah. Jerry Rice. We go on for days, yes. He does write. Anyway, do you guys think we should get a quarterback transfer, or would you settle?
I would. You need a transfer. I don't know that it needs to be – you need to get in the sweepstakes for necessarily – you know, you're trying to find the starter, but I do think they need to get a transfer quarterback.
I do too.
Yeah, that you need depth, man, because who knows where Rodemaker will be. I mean, you just need a – you need – or what he is. But I think we like Duffy. I think Duffy's got a chance to be something, but you don't know, and you can't go. I mean, you Jordan Travis always gets hurt. Now, banged up. Not even injured like where he's out for the year, but he will be banged up at times in 2022. And who's going to go out there and get snaps in a close game? Is it going to be a true
freshman
or Rodemaker or some kid that's played a lot of football at another school?
You don't want to be sentenced to a loss if he can't play.
And that's right. The thing. You're at a point now with this program, bringing in some of the guys they brought in, where there really shouldn't be any games. Really shouldn't be any games. Clemson at home? I mean, there really shouldn't be any games where you can't feel like going in, you don't have a chance to win. So you losing your starting quarterback, if you don't have anybody else, would create that scenario.
Oh, it does definitely create that scenario, yeah.
So, yes, they should. I would go defensive line before a quarterback, and I might even go running back before a quarterback, but I would go get a quarterback.
I'm not as worried about running back, although I hear your point. I'd find another linebacker. Kristen writes, what's the likelihood that getting the first title and beating Saban is all Kirby needs to basically become Alabama 2.0? We know the talent's equal. Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, and by the way, if you're a Florida fan or anybody else in the East today, you thought, we are a long ways away from beating Georgia consistently. I would.
Oh yeah,
that.
No
if
question.
If I were a fan of anybody else in the East, you're not winning that division.
I mean, that game
soon.
Was ridiculous this year. What do you did you guys feel like watching Jimbo? Was he pulling for Georgia? People on Twitter were saying that
it felt like he was. I will say, and I think you guys would agree with this, for all of the pluses and minuses that we have vetted about Jimbo Fisher over the year, he does root for kids to do well and for people to do well, I think. I mean, when the injury happened, he was heartbroken. You could tell.
Oh, no, he's got a good heart for players.
Like
for
players, I was.
He loves players.
Yeah, very
just
much.
Like you. Yeah,
I was inconsolable.
Yeah. It was funny at the beginning of the game. I think the reason that people – I'm sorry, Ira. The reason that people, I think, probably feel like he's rooting for Georgia was – Georgia, you remember they had the false start. They had a stupid play where your boy Stetson takes a sack on first down.
Yeah,
they were playing. They were
he
not
dribbled
playing
the
well.
Ball to himself in a scramble.
Yeah, and they were just saucer-eyed, like nervous. Yeah. And Jimbo goes, these boys got to calm down. Calm down, everybody. We got to calm down. And he threw that out there kind of like he was trying to talk to them.
Yeah,
like, hey, let's everybody settle in. And that's when I thought, he's probably pulling for that to happen.
I'm curious, though, because I've never gotten the sense that he loves Kirby or that he loves what Georgia has been doing the last few years, so that would have surprised me. But from a competitive standpoint, knowing how his mind works, and he just wants to see competitors compete, like the fact that Georgia was not rising up,
they were giving
themselves
a chance.
Him.
Yeah, it was pissing him off because he knew they were better than
that.
And then the number one point he was making about Stetson Bennett on the sack, he's like, his exact words were, you can never take a sack on a play action rollout. You have the ability to
throw
it away.
It out of bounds.
You're outside the tackle.
Yeah.
He knew they weren't thinking, you know, and he was like, son, throw the ball.
How about that grounding call? That was a weird call.
Nuts, man.
I mean,
tell me this, Jeff, because Tom Brady is the king of it. Why is it not grounding when you throw a ball at somebody's feet?
Because if he's an eligible
but you are intentionally throwing an incomplete pass.
80 miles an hour at the ground.
It's a smart play because that's an eligible receiver, and you can just say.
But you airmail one when there's a guy on that side of the field.
Take issue with the rules, but I'm just saying that.
No, I get it, but we need to help out defenses anyway, in my opinion. If you throw a pass that you intentionally throw it to be incomplete at somebody's feet at 90 miles an hour, that's as much grounding as it throwing it 20 feet over their head. Yeah.
Well,
but they only call
the
one 20 feet over their head because the that Bryce Young threw a couple where he was getting sacked and just winged it really. And Kirk Herbstreit, like, that's a really smart play. He's throwing it where
he's, I think Kirk gave a little too much credit for the sack non-fumble.
The non-fumble, yeah.
He wasn't like, thinking about
yeah,
that.
He's like, yeah. But there was another one where he was, and I'm like, man, Stetson Bennett looks like the receiver just cut off
yes,
the route.
Yes, it was a miscommunication yeah. as much as it was
and they,
thrown
and
it
they're
away.
They're like, let's just yeah. drop the flag. That's a penalty.
Real quick on the side, I saw today where I think it was Greg McElmore or whatever said what did he say? He said that he's fairly
McElroy?
No McElroy. What did I say? McElroy.
You said McElmore.
I don't know what the hell like I'm the rapper. Talking about. Like the, oh, yeah. like the rapper, yeah.
Yeah, thrift shop.
It's my hidden affinity for his music. So
you've been watching it so much.
So yeah. much, it's just in my brain. No, he said that he's fairly certain that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart do not like each other. Hmm. And he's like, I know Kirby doesn't like Nick, but he respects the hell out of him. And Nick respects Kirby. He's like, but working for Nick, and he was talking about his ex-assistants, he's like, will drive you nuts, that yeah. he can be very, very difficult and unrelenting, and that you're looking for a reason to leave if you can.
Can I be self-indulgent here and talk just a personal story with Kirby when he was here? When he
as a GA,
when
right?
he was here as a yeah. GA in 2003, 2004, 2002, 2003, I had done a feature on him. So when he got the job at LSU, when Muschamp left, he got the secondary job at LSU.
Yeah.
And he gave me that story because I had done a feature on him. We were both young. And he, I'm a little bit older, but he, so he gave me the story and I said, so you're going to go work for Saban. And this was at the height of Saban's an ass and you don't want to work for him. Like everybody knew it back then when he was right. at LSU. And he goes, yeah, man, what I was told from some guys that work for him is it's like working for Satan basically, but he's going to make your career. So I'm thinking, man, if I just be there for a couple of years, but then he ended up staying with him forever.
And he went with him for 12 years. Yeah,
so years. It's like, well, it must not be that bad, Kirby.
I asked Jimbo about what it's like to work for Saban, and this is many years ago, and he said, well, it's taxing. I mean, you are expected to be there at this hour, and you're not likely to leave at this hour, and nothing's ever good enough.
Sounds a lot like somebody else.
Sounds a lot like somebody yeah. else. He said, for example, they once scored 30 points and a half in an SEC game. Jimbo was calling the plays. They won the game at halftime. After the game is over, Nick walks into his office and says, what in the hell was that call on third and three? And it was like late in the third yeah. quarter, and they're up by 38. Mm-hmm. And Jimbo said he just looked at him like, really? That's what we're, you know, it's like, so that's yeah. kind of the way it is. But Kirby has said it. Jimbo has said it. Countless others have said it. If you do your job, paid handsomely, reputation increases greatly, and your career is set. And right. that's turned out to be pretty much true for most of those guys.
Sure.
They've all had a million opportunities.
Sure. Good for them. Good for them.
Good for you.
Good for you.
All of us. Good for
it's
all
good
of us.
Good for you.
Yeah, you're right.
That said, the question about them being Alabama 2.0, well, he took the Saban model, mm-hmm. applied it to Georgia. They have the infrastructure and the investment in doing that, and that is a problem. Like, that's why I just said nobody in the East is catching them anytime soon. And
yeah, and they're recruiting. They're going to continue to recruit at this level. He might go somewhere else, but it feels like he might be a guy that wants to be there for 10, 15 more years. I was thinking about this. Who was the last coach to win a championship at his alma mater? Was it Phil Fulmer?
Yeah, probably. And the best thing about
like
it
four
is
of them, five of them
Spurrier did it. Fulmer did it. Right. There haven't been many. There haven't been any in the last decade, two
and
decades.
The cool thing about him is, man, we've seen some coaches that have pretended to be Florida State fans.
Yes, we know one.
We talked about Willie's. But anyway, not that he didn't like Florida State, but just the
sure.
but passing, the way fancy. Kirby is so entranced. I mean, he played there, grew up in Bainbridge. Yeah. Dad, coach, I mean, so it's a it is. He's not just like a kid that played there. I mean, he is the embodiment. I mean, that's mm-hmm. pretty cool because you don't see that
yeah.
in college sports anymore.
My niece is a freshman at Georgia. She thinks it's going to be like this forever. Who knows? It might be.
It could be.
What's happened
yeah.
for her?
Did she go celebrate? Did you text her?
She had a great time. I said, congratulations. I was like, enjoy this. I doubt she realizes that, you know, it's not like this every year.
Yeah.
But do you think an NFL team would be interested, though?
I don't know, man. Are they interested in college coaches anymore? And if so, why?
Well, but
do any of them work out?
It depends on the type of coach. It depends.
None of them work out. Who's the last one that worked out? Pete Carroll? That it?
Matt Rhule might.
Yeah, Rhule's crushing it. None of them do anything. None of them are good at it. It's such a different type of job. Maybe it's getting more and more similar now that you get to pay for players.
If I were a college coach and I got hit, offered a pro coaching job, I would take it because I don't have to recruit.
That's the only thing.
You don't really have to recruit now either. You could just pay the kids.
You got to recruit your own roster every day because somebody else is.
Well, and that's the only thing I'm saying. The there are a lot of reasons where college coaches are getting frustrated with what's going on. Some are thrilled with what's going on.
Sure.
But I'm curious about him from that standpoint, because it, you know, and that would be the only reason I'd see Georgia. He is a big deal for them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they are invested, but they also could go back to being where they were if they didn't have Kirby Smart.
Put no ribbon on that, by the way. It was very important they win that game last night.
Oh, sure. Because we don't know the next time they're going to have a shot at it.
Well, I mean, just imagine if that team,
yeah,
didn't beat Alabama, because that's not even close to Alabama's
best team. Especially when their two first-round wide receivers weren't playing. And like,
but even this year, they were vulnerable six times. They almost lost to Auburn, LSU, Arkansas, Florida.
If you'd have lost to that Alabama team twice.
With that Georgia team.
Yeah.
Right.
With all the questions already surrounding it, can you ever get it done?
No, you're right.
Yeah, it would have been devastating.
Kind of a pedestrian running back for Alabama, not a great offensive line by Alabama standards.
No, I mean,
quarterback, but that was
– In many ways, that's Nick Saban's best coaching job, that they were even there. I mean, I hate to laud the man more than he's already wanted.
It helps
that
he's got, you know, the staff he has.
Yeah, sure. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Afternoon, guys, and congrats to Corey. First the Braves and now Georgia.
What a year. What a year.
Congrats to Jeff for winning the wager, and congrats to Ira for being the five-star that we know he is.
Mm.
I sure hope that the big money people and NIL donors watch the game and see the type of athletes that we're going to need to bring in to be on. That seems to be a recurring theme here, that when you see the level of athleticism there, you turn your head over here, you go, ooh, this ain't close.
If you watch the Outback Bowl, you'd be like, well, Florida State could belong on the field with these guys. Florida State can play with Kentucky and Iowa.
Condescending ass.
No, I'm saying it's
like
true.
When you do that.
But I'm saying that's the next step. You want to get to the Outback Bowl. And then from the Outback Bowl.
I'm just saying, man, from the heights that we've been.
I know, I got it. But
you're like, Jeff, they can aspire to be over in Orlando.
I'm saying the next step.
They can aspire to be,
First step's the Outback Bowl. Next step after that is looking like Georgia and Alabama did last night.
Gentlemen, thanks for the great show, writes Steve. How did the ACC refs do last night, in your opinion? Does the SEC ref, do the refs let them play more in the SEC? Unsure if Corey can even chime in here, because I suspect he spent most of last night in a dark room rocking back and forth.
No, I watched it all. Watched every single play.
It meant more to him that the Braves won that title,
it did,
Steve,
yeah,
for a lot of reasons. We're not going to get into it.
More invested in the Braves than Georgia, so I wasn't as nervous. I wasn't nervous at all. I wasn't even mad on the fumble. The quote-unquote fumble. I didn't think they had by ACC standards, it wasn't a terrible game. I don't understand the kick-catch interference.
Yeah,
they missed that.
They don't call that. They don't call that.
They never call it. They never, ever call it. People are going boo right next to you every time.
Yeah.
Unless a guy drops it or something. Unless something happens.
But he didn't touch
it. I know. They never
called it. I didn't even know that was there's no halo anymore, is there?
No, there's not.
Okay. Well, then that was a great
call. If you call for a fair catch, I think they're supposed to give you some space.
Well, they never do.
Yeah.
They never do.
And
the intentional grounding on Stetson Bennett, I thought was a terrible. I didn't understand.
Yeah, and there are some in general bad calls here and there, but nothing worse than normal. I mean, from an ACC official,
they had a banner night.
One they've had.
And the controversial call, and I tweeted about the time. I thought one of the two things had happened: either it was a fumble, or there, you know, or it was, I thought it was either an incomplete pass or that the guy didn't get it in bounds. I couldn't believe the guy got it in bounds.
It was crazy. He didn't even mean to. That's what was so frustrating about it. It's like that guy was just like, here's a ball. Let me pick it up.
Yeah. Well, that's also athleticism, man.
But his foot was in bounds by
catching a bouncing ball as he's walking out.
But his foot was in bounds by half an inch.
That's right.
And he wasn't even caring about it. He didn't even, it's just,
but also his left hand's so big that that's possession.
That's why I couldn't believe that they made the call because, like, I was like, typical ACC, they're going to give a guy the ball that didn't even want it.
Yeah, he didn't even know he had it. Yeah. Didn't even know he was playing a game.
But by the ACC standards, they had a banner night. If they officiated that well in your typical ACC game, we would never. Because there's no game where everybody's perfect. What is the greatest marketing campaign of the last 10 years, and why is it Little Sweet? Michael Williams. I love Little Sweet. I agree with him. I think it's great. The Dr. Pepper commercials are awesome.
Oh, you like those?
I love them. I think they're hilarious.
I think it's the
character, the guy that plays that is funnier than hell. He takes it to the hilt.
No, it's the is it Progressive? Is it the you don't want to be your parents?
It's a great
one. That's an incredible one.
All of them are great.
You can watch them all in a row.
And every one of them are funny.
They're really funny, all of them. The one in the deli, like, the manager, tell Brian the deli. Good job.
By the way, the worst part is that you're starting to recognize seven or eight of the symptoms in yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hello, gentlemen, writes Ryan. Jeff, what does a Seminole basketball bohica look like? Asking for a friend that coaches Louisville. or Miami. Or Miami, who are sitting at seven straight.
Larinaga might get one.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough to beat them twice this year. But, hey, they could. They could. They're going
to
turn
it on. Thomas wants to know, do we have to have a 10-win season next year? Looking at the roster and with all the turnover in the conference and the teams on the schedule, I can't pick out but one definitive loss. Go Noles. Well, it's a game of
attrition.
What's
the definitive loss, you think?
It'd be
Clemson.
It'd be Clemson, I would
assume. I don't know. Clemson at home?
I agree. I'm just saying that could be the only thing he could be saying, I think.
Not LSU?
It wouldn't be at Miami.
No, I don't think LSU's a definitive loss. I think you're going to be an underdog in five games probably, but none of them are going to be double digits.
I could easily.
Maybe at NC State?
I think there's a chance Florida State could get to wins. I think there's a chance Florida State can get to wins. Am I
predicting
that?
You're saying 10
wins? I mean 10 wins.
You just said get to wins.
10 wins.
Get busy winning.
Or
get busy losing.
But would I predict it and say that's like a standard they have to reach now?
No, they're going to be, like we talk about, they're going to be in coin toss games. It's going to come down to a few plays in the fourth quarter. You hopefully you win more than you lose, and you finish with 8 or 9 wins.
I'm switching to Twitter. I want to make it known there's a definitive switch.
By the way, I just want to – I put up – I forgot about Facebook.
Why are you stalling?
No, because I forgot about Facebook.
It's a filibuster.
In between the third and the fourth quarter last night of a championship game of my alma mater, I care so much about this show that I got on Facebook and asked for the question.
You want credit for doing it later than you were.
Yeah, but I remembered it all. It was incredible. What an incredible feat for me.
I'm being told by several of the Twitter folks here to buy you guys lunch today. They all were aware with my winnings. They were all aware.
That would be cool, but don't come asking for a few bucks if you lose. So I guess we won't take
it. Oh, you're not going to take me up on it?
Because
I wasn't offering today.
Okay.
But at some point later, you know, maybe.
That'd be great. Maybe to Horizons.
Throw us a hot dog.
Take me to Horizons.
Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we talk about Horizons?
Okay. Horizons.
We're ready to break anyhow. Let's go.
We are. Oh, see, you don't get your Twitter questions, Ira. That's
how
that
works. We got 30 minutes left in the show.
That's what you get. Yeah. But Horizons. You want me to do the theme song?
I want you to say something about Horizon.
Oh, it's great. Great food.
Man, you are a terrible ambassador for Horizon.
Great food. Hey, just
tell
people.
You're the reason Horizons is with us.
And I'm giving
I'm the reason Horizons exists.
To talk about Horizons. You're like, yeah, it's great. Whatever.
Great food. Great food. And you might see us there at some point this week. That's a good enough ad right there. You might see the trio of Seminole headlines in a place.
Very possible. Eating some delicious food, the 38 chicken with the fish tacos.
Get about it.
The mac and
shrimp
cheese
tacos,
bites, the hummus, the pimento cheese. The pimento cheese, man, is off the chain, and I don't like pimento cheese, Ira.
But you like theirs.
But theirs is incredible, so ask for it.
And what's on special this week, Corey?
Just tell them headlines sent you. And
you get six free beers
beers, one entree. And I think a $25 gift card.
Oh, they give you money to eat that.
The code is Kirby.
I like that.
And the promo code is Kirby.
Don't do any of that, but please go to Horizons.
Well, do it if it happens. Make sure you
just let us know.
Load us some $25 gift cards.
Bannerman Crossing on Thomas Road and Bannerman Road. And tell them Corey sent you and made up some stuff.
Mm. Well, you earned a Twitter question before break. NIL and Portal, can Ham create an NIL fundraiser position that is keeping with the culture of Team Knowles? 3 to 4 year development for the greater good, as well as a portal watch assistant to compete. Other ACC basketball programs have deep pockets, and FSU basketball's fan base ain't number one in Tallahassee. Yeah.
He did sound concerned yesterday. That's for, he,
like, well, elaborate, Leonard Hamilton, Ira, because yeah. you brought up this, you brought this up, and you also wrote about it at warchant.com.
So Leonard Hamilton, he's been, I think Leonard Hamilton would be a great NCAA president or ACC commissioner. I mean, the guy, he is so smart, big picture, and also knows what's important.
Been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah, he's been in college coaching for 50 years.
Can I add
years.
To your point for a second? And I think this just further exercise. I was told by a coach at Florida State, another coach, that whenever they have those coaches' meetings, he's the smartest man in the room every time.
Right. But here's the thing about him. He doesn't feel the need to tell you that
at
every
all.
Time something comes up. And if there's an issue nationally, he doesn't like to jump in. Unless it's, it's got to be an important time or an important moment. For him yesterday, we were just doing a Zoom with local media, and I think Allison Posey, local TV person, asked him what he thinks about college sports or college basketball in the next 5 years with what's going on with the NIL and the portal. And he said, he had a great line. He's like, I hope they're proud of themselves, whoever came up with this portal and the NIL, because they're either going to need an award, a trophy, or a pitchfork. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah.
And then he went into it and how different it is and how much of a challenge it is. And he wasn't complaining. He was just saying, man, this has changed everything.
Mm.
And so when Leonard Hamilton's talking about that, and I know it's not revolutionary. I mean, we all know that things are changing. But for him to talk publicly about it, I think he feels like they need to do something quickly to bring things back into order. Because, and he goes, right now it's becoming a bidding war.
Yeah.
So he's speaking about what he's seeing out in recruiting right now. It is, all the pretense is gone, and it's a straight up bidding war.
And you think about the classes he's brought in the last 4 or 5 years, there's always been one and done. There's been two NBA players probably in those classes. He's always had a top 10-ish class if he's had enough spots. A lot of 4 and 5 star kids, including this past year with Cleveland and Worley. And then you look at this class, the first NIL class, which is this 2022 class, and just go look at it. And you can see maybe the difference with a place like Florida State, where maybe...
Now, maybe they hit on, these guys the way they did Devin Vassell.
Sure, but right, they're not getting... Scotty Barnes might not be interested in anymore.
And they were in the running for a bunch of guys that signed at Memphis, signed at
weird.
Other places schools where we think NIL is a bigger deal.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering, for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good
food.
The most important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons Bar
and
Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. It's just a great place to hang out. And if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing, at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman, up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
So, you pick in Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Anybody else I should name for next year's national champion?
I mean, who knows? USC? I don't know.
No.
Can we get Twitter questions?
I'm going to Twitter questions.
Because he filibustered in the last hour.
Shut up,
Ira. So we only got the one.
Shut up.
I just want an early prediction. You only
Alabama.
Get one chance.
There you go, Alabama. How's that? I'm going to go on a limb and say Alabama's going to be really good, probably play for another national title.
Southern Cal could be a sneaky contender.
You think it happens that quickly?
Caleb Williams, you'd be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be much better.
It's the Pac-12.
All right, here we go. I'm not trying to be mean, and I consider myself a basketball fan. Why does Raekwon Evans get so much run?
Did you write this question?
I did not.
Is that Jeff? Is that from Jeff Cameron's show on Twitter?
It's from NYKFSUCPA.
He's a veteran. He's experienced. He's a big kid, 6'4". Hamilton likes his tall guards. And his backup is a freshman that is still learning. But, yes, I thought it was telling that Jalen Worley was in the game in a real pivotal moment. Yeah. Now, they put Raekwon in back in the because it was going to be a free throw contest. Right. But when the game was in the balance, Jalen Worley was in the game, and I think
you're going to see
more of that.
I hope you're right. Bishop writes, now that Shade Tree is in the College Football Hall of Fame, who is the next Noel you want to see get in? Well, first of all, let's not just gloss over.
Good job, Marvin.
All right.
20 years too late, maybe?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Favorite player in FSU football history.
Good it's such a
even
weird...
when his kid decided to go to school. And his kid will be here before it's all over, right?
Maybe in a few hours.
the College Football Hall of Fame is just a weird entity, right?
Is there a College Baseball Hall of Fame or a college? There's not a College Basketball Hall of Fame, is there?
They just part of the Basketball
Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know about College Baseball. But, yeah, it's just – there's so many people, and then you look at this this class. Like Andrew Luck went in. I mean, did he do more than Winkie did?
Is Winkie not in?
I don't think so.
Oh, Winkie's a Heisman winner. Yeah, no. Florida State probably has 20, probably 30 legitimately deserving guys that aren't in yet that might get in eventually, including Aguayo and Ramsey at some point.
They'll get in. I mean, in due time, we may be dead when some of those guys get in, but they'll get in. It is weird. Whenever you see the list of names, there are guys that go in from a team that played 1976.
Yeah.
Guys, 74. There's no rhyme or reason to the
timing. I love T-Buck as personally and as a player, but should he have gone in before Marvin?
God, no.
I mean, that's weird.
Well, he played 2 years before him, right?
It doesn't matter. We're talking about level of dominance.
They were both very, very good. But it's odd.
T-Buck was never – what Marvin was to linebackers, I don't think T-Buck ever was to
quarterback. How dare you, Ira.
Also, Thorpe Marvin was the first to win multiple awards in a given year like that.
No, it's bizarre.
Marvin is –
but every time you see the College Football Hall of Fame inductees, you're like, wait, he's not in?
Yeah.
Wait, Rashawn Salaam's not in? He's not in? Chris Carter's not whoever it is. It's always baffling to see the
list. I do like when the list comes out because it takes, we're all nostalgic.
It takes you back.
You always remember, I remember that guy's career. Oh, man, I forgot about that guy. Sadly, when I saw the list this time around, I was like, I forgot Rashawn Salaam killed himself.
Until you just said it.
Sorry about that.
That sucks. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, at a park.
I feel like I knew he'd passed away. I didn't know he'd. Well, that sucks. Yeah. All right. Well, next question.
Sorry about that, Corey.
Yeah, great.
Well, you should know these things.
I know.
If you all pick any four coaches, living or dead, for the coaches' broadcast, who would they be, and how much more entertaining would Coach Bowden be than all of them?
Oh, man, he would have been unbelievable.
He'd have been great with that. Let's see. Who would I pick? Well,
Spurrier would be good.
He would be because he's funny, and he would chide, I'm sure.
That's what you want. I mean, that's why Peyton and Eli is good. The information's good, but then busting each other's chops.
Yeah, you want a nice balance of entertaining, funny, guys that are brash and not afraid, also those that are introspective and contemplative. So you want a balance. You want somebody to balance each other out.
Barry Switzer?
I don't know about that. He'd get fired quick.
He'd be just drinking brown liquor.
And there'd be some comments that you'd be like, that's wildly inappropriate. Yeah. That's not going to work here.
Jackie Sherrill might have been good.
Oh, man.
I think that era, there would have been some really good ones. I don't know. Today, man, these guys today, I don't know. I just... The Chargers coach, by the way, I know it's not college, but that guy to me is I don't know. It's just it's what I feel like college coaching kind of is going to a degree, or coaching in general, and it's just not really my. I mean, it's just
not your. Yeah,
no, it's not what I'm looking for.
Sean writes, how worried do you think Hamilton is about losing newcomers after a setback kind of year? His comments on the portal are concerning. Maintaining a great culture with limited minutes is hard enough while winning. This will be the ultimate test if they do not make the tournament this year. I understand Sean's point. I don't think it's crazy. I thought it was interesting that he made the comments that he did, and I have been concerned. Well, this is the thing about Florida State. In a lot of ways.
He got a portal kid from Kentucky who was a 4-star big-time deal, and then Caleb Mills, who was one of the better transfers on the market. He didn't shrink from the portal necessarily.
No, but I also don't think that it was – I would say this. One thing about Caleb Mills is he's been there for a year. He sat out for a year. He transferred before that rule went into place. And Cameron Fletcher was he had to go somewhere. It's not like they went and poached somebody's best player.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got what you're saying, yeah.
I am concerned, though, to get to the spirit of this question. Florida State has never been in a position because it is not – they call themselves the New Bloods for a reason. They are not royalty, basketball royalty at all. If something serves to further separate those that are invested and have the cachet of a Duke or North Carolina or many other programs from where we're already at, then things do become that much more difficult. If you have a setback and cannot sustain – I mean, listen, they've gone to back-to-back-to-back Sweet 16s. We're talking about a team that has gone to a couple Sweet 8s, Elite 8s recently.
I like Sweet 8s better.
Sweet 8s is pretty nice. I throw that out there. Yeah. Oh, we made it to the Sweet 8.
Sweet, Sweet 8.
Yeah. The Elite 8. So, and they've had guys go in the first round, top 10. You know, when you're sustaining that, it's easy to keep that kind of going, but the second you lose it.
The Sweet 16, then the Sweeter 8.
Ooh, and then the Sweetest 4. Sweetest 4. Mm.
And the final night of sweetness for the championship game. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio. War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
I like that we're not racing through the end of the program here. We got a good 12 minutes, guys, to answer some questions.
Let's go.
I set it up well today.
Good. You
I
did. Finally.
You're always in a rush, Corey.
I am. Well,
Let's go.
Yeah, YOLO.
Let's go. How many of the 2021 wide receivers hit the portal after spring? Which do you try to retain? Which do you push out?
I would say at least two, right?
Or probably around two.
I think they're probably, like, all Florida State fans are really excited every time a commitment comes up on Twitter. I don't know that maybe Jordan Young is all fired up. Like, all right, man, I got some more teammates.
So you immediately went to the guy that I was going to say.
Well, look, man, I think
he's been here 4 years.
He's been here 4 years.
You're waiting a little while?
Yeah, Portier, Williamson, all those guys have an opportunity. They at least see the writing on the wall. They better get a lot better.
Well, the only thing I'd say about Portier and Williamson is that they were upside guys from the beginning.
Yeah.
They were projects. You've put 2 years into them. I think there's maybe potential with those guys athletically. Jordan's been here 4 years.
Yo, no, and I'm not saying they won't be good where they go. It's just that, like, you know, these guys aren't coming in to sit behind Kentron Portier.
No,
right?
I don't think they're necessarily to sit behind him, but I think those guys have a chance to stay.
And don't forget Destin Hill.
Right.
Yeah. Any day now. Zach writes, hypothetical regarding the transfer portal. Would we have ever been able to dig our way out of the dumpster fire without it? It reminds me of a slightly altered quote from Fat Bastard and Austin Powers. We can't win without good players. We can't get good players without winning.
Yeah. That was a good line in Austin Powers. I like when he said,
I eat because I'm full and I'm sad, whatever it is. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Norvell has been hurt by some things, COVID and in the NIL. He's also been helped by the transfer portal. And where Florida State was, it would take, I think, 4 years at least.
Minimum.
Yeah. And nobody has that patience.
They don't, unless they're forced to.
Dominic Robinson had a good, really good line talking to him a couple months ago before we did some stuff for War Chant. The former FSU wide receiver, he's done some stuff in coaching and scouting. I said, how do you define a good, like, what's a good hire? Because we were talking, LSU had just hired Brian Kelly. And there were a couple other hires, and we were discussing, like, what's a good hire? And he said, I thought this was really smart. He said, to me, the definition of a good hire is a coach that your fan base is going to be willing to have enough time to do whatever it needs to be to get done. And I thought that's a really good way to look at it. You know, because so many times they hire somebody and then don't give them a chance. And this car wash of coaches isn't successful.
It is a vicious cycle to his point, though, because there is a point where after – 3 years, depending on the situation. If you're not seeing tangible success, the chances of you bringing in the kind of class that will lead to tangible success anytime soon is out the door.
But it also becomes like, what's your, like, the definition?
But then that year four, you know, is going to suck because you just imploded the thing again.
Correct. Right. And every time you restart, you're starting from the beginning.
Starting over again.
It's hard, though, especially when you go to a game and it's a half-filled stadium. So you're like, what are they doing?
No, and that's exactly the point. And you let the fans, you say, well, they voted because they're not coming to the games anymore. And then because of that financial pressure. But that's where I think, like, a situation like in Nebraska, at least you're thinking, hey, we've got a bad situation. People are going to expect instant results, but he's he's going to set the standard low early, which he did when he came in.
Which was smart.
But then we're going to, people are going to give him time because of his tradition, Scott Frost, because of what he's done at that school. But even there, I don't know that people are as patient as.
Well, after this past year, I think they're starting to lose all patience because they lost every close game they played in, which was virtually every game they played.
All of them.
And he kept playing
crazy, crazy losses.
Well, like, you just can't roll Martinez's sorry ass out there over and over again. That drove me nuts.
They got somebody just committed to him. A quarterback just committed to him.
Anybody
I can't
that
who. Is wasn't Chuba,
but I think if you but if you have a situation where if you don't, if you think you're that far away, you probably you need to figure out a way to hire a coach that fans are going to be able to ride with for at least 3 years.
Yeah, well, and you could argue that's what Michigan did, right? I mean, it's one of their own,
right?
One of your own. You know, like Harbaugh goes in there, they give him more patience than they would have with anybody else.
I think Norvell's ingratiated himself to most of the fan base, though, just with the kind of. The answers he gives, the access, the quotes, yeah, all that stuff.
The answer he gives to your questions, anyway.
Well, right, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I actually think, you know, it's weird. Like, we all get asked this a lot about whether we
about
think
my
he's
questions?
The one. No, about whether or not he's the guy. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a moment. And again, the Jacksonville State game, he made a massive mistake treating like a glorified scrimmage, and it has set him back reputationally amongst this fan base immensely. That's true. I know you can't exclude that game, but let's, for the sake of argument, go ahead. Pretty much everything he's done up to this point has not given you reason to think, oh, he can't coach, there's no plan in place, he's not going to get it done. Most everything we've seen other than that one night is a guy that I think is building towards something good. Yeah. Most of us agree with that. Burke writes, what would your assessment of Norvell be if we win 7 or less games next year?
That's going to be a tough spot.
How you play matters greatly,
well,
but yes.
It's going to be a tough situation. That's why I said it last time we talked. I mean, I don't want to set a number. Certainly, I don't want to set that number at 10.
That's the next part of this question.
But if you don't get to 7 or 8 wins, I think it's going to be hard to show progress.
It's hard
masses.
To claim progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, admittedly, if they go 6-6 or worse, yeah, man, there ain't. It would be very tough to come back from that.
Yeah. You need to just get. Look, Deion will be a co-offensive coordinator.
But I do think they're going to – I mean, I think that's what they're – I think they're going to win 7-8 games.
There you go, Ira. Okay.
Maybe 10. Maybe 10.
All right.
Okay. I would agree. More Shade Trees talk we already touched on. I think we've done the Twitter questions here, guys.
So you can go back to Facebook.
What are your asked every one of them already.
Well, you put it up like an hour ago.
What are your thoughts on where we stand after Norvell's rake from the portal this offseason? I hate to talk wins and losses right now, but do you think that puts us in the hunt for the ACC championship? There you go.
Look, that might be a bridge too far, but, you know, it's hard. We don't know what anybody has. Like, I don't know what Clemson has. I don't even know who's on their staff.
All right, but we got 6 minutes here, somewhere in there, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it is. Yeah. Let's go just quickly go through the positions, okay? Because I think when you look at a position by position and how much better they're going to be this year than even last year, I think you could see a scenario where, I mean, the offensive line, you're bringing back
everybody
that you want.
All right, I'm
going
to do this for you. Ready? The quarterback room is not better as a room.
Right. Well, I think it could be because I think Duffy will probably be better than Mackenzie Milton was
Duffy
this year.
Is Duffy here already?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
And he'll have a spring.
You think he'll be better than Mackenzie Milton was, who was obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think you got Jordan back.
It's marginally better.
And Jordan is going to take another step.
I think Jordan is better than you thought he was last year.
And
right? he's improved.
And he's going to probably take another step because you have better receivers and offensive line.
Sure, I would agree that's logical. But I just think it's not a massive step forward. It's a marginal step forward.
It's not Bryce Young.
Okay.
Wide receivers should be much better.
Okay. So let's just go backfield. Running backs.
No.
That I don't think, unless they go get somebody.
Yeah.
And if they get a transfer portal, if they get somebody to Jayshon Corbin's level or close, then it could be better because I think Toefele will get better.
So Ward, Toefele, and then we're a little.
Yeah,
DJ Williams,
if they don't get a transfer, I don't feel good about the running
back. Okay, so we're going to say for now, we think that room is
probably
worse
took a step back.
Yeah.
Took a step back.
That's the one position.
All right. Wide receiver, we know worlds better.
Immensely better.
Yes, much better. Okay. Offensive line
will be much better.
I think better. I think better for sure. It depends on how healthy everybody is and able to work out this.
Yeah,
off-season.
Will they be going to avoid off-season surgery? Can they work? For
can they work
nine
to get
months?
Better? Yeah. Can they get thicker and stronger? Because they need that. They need that at center. They
you bring
need
back
that.
Your best offensive lineman.
Yes,
and you add in a guy that started at Wisconsin or has started.
At Wisconsin. Yeah. If he's healthy, you're getting better there.
And another transfer that you like, and then some high school guys that give you some depth.
Tight end.
I think
it
they're,
can't help but get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't lose anyone.
I mean, honestly, Jordan Wilson. Yeah, yeah.
Jordan Wilson's a loss.
Yeah, but Cam McDonald's back, right? Well, I guess. Maybe Jackson West takes a big step up.
47 other tight ends.
Yeah, you got a lot of bodies at that problem.
Okay,
but you're not going to be. I don't think you think. Oh, you took a big step back.
That's not going to change.
You're at least treading water there at the tight end position.
Let's go defensive end.
Worse. We'll see.
Worse.
TBA.
Yeah, it's
going to be worse.
It has to be worse.
But whether or not it's a cliff or not. But every other position on defense, spoiler alert, is going to be better. But go ahead.
So Fabian Lovett's coming back?
Seems like it. I mean, why wasn't
That's he? Really important.
The deadline is January 17th, and he hasn't announced yet. Yeah. So I don't know why. Why would you not?
That would be very important. Because if he doesn't, then I don't know that you're better there in the middle. I know Big Coop's coming back.
But I think Cooper's definitely here.
Yeah, yeah.
And if Lovett comes back, I thought Malcolm Ray played pretty
well
later in the year.
Got better, yeah.
Jared Jackson played better last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Joshua Farmer kid. I mean, I think the defensive tackle room is going to be possibly better than it was last year.
Linebacker.
Better.
Better, but not much.
We're better, though.
It'll be better.
Yeah, you're better.
I'm looking for appreciable success if we're trying to get to 9 and 10 wins.
Well, I'm not looking for 10 wins.
But if you're better at almost every position than you were last year when you won five games.
Well, we'll count the Jacksonville State game.
No, we can't. I'm going to go count it.
Six wins. That was the 6-win season, guys.
It's reasonable to assume that you're
going
to
be. And then secondary,
close.
You're better. Because you're older.
Yeah, you're definitely
older. Knowles,
I wasn't worried
Cooper.
About the secondary. And then you
got Jamie Robinson coming back, which is a huge get. And your best signing was
at the end of the season, you had two true freshmen starting in your secondary.
Yeah.
So you're going to be back.
Yeah,
Knowles should be much better.
Is going to take
and
a big leap
Cooper's
forward.
Be
and
nice
Cooper
and you're going to catch, theoretically, you're going to catch punts.
That's
a big one.
I was going to special teams there.
Yeah, well,
catching punts.
Can't
Michael
worse.
Pittman, you know, I'd like you to be good at wide receiver, but I know
just
you have
go,
to be somebody that can catch
go
a
catch
punt.
Punts.
Go catch a punt and make somebody miss every once in a while.
That's the thing is, like, it's so hard to know now in college football from year to year.
That's correct.
What your team's going to look like. Much like the NFL, free agency. It's just free agency. So
it's hard to predict the conference.
Yes.
And
it's hard to predict even what we still know what the roster is going to be. We don't know who. There's three or four more spots plus another signing day.
Right.
But this was a 6-win-ish team, let's just say that, and they're going to be better. They should be a better.
Minute.
They should have a better roster.
Win over Duquesne.
Yes.
We're going to beat Louisiana.
Yes.
Louisiana, I say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. BC.
Okay, come get some.
Jerkovich, come back.
Here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He has come here.
Doesn't matter.
But it's here.
All right, Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Wake Forest.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Sam Hartman's back. That's a tough game.
It's here, though.
They lost like 15 seventh-year guys.
Louisville.
Sure, that's going to be a tough one.
At Miami.
Could be a tough one.
At NC State.
Very tough.
At Syracuse.
Yes.
Can win that one. And then Clemson and Florida at home.
I didn't mention Clemson and Florida and LSU.
Yeah. So, again.
Those are three big ones.
Yes.
But all those games are within 7-point spreads, in my opinion, either way.
I think
right
we'll have to
now,
revisit this schedule again.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard to talk about.
At the end
but none of those names scare the bejesus out of you right now. Like, LSU doesn't scare you because who knows what they are. We just don't know.
Yeah, and their whole roster's changing.
Yeah,
I do think they'll be better coached.
Than they were. Oh,
last year?
And
it's not like they're devoid of
talent.
But
it's also a first game. It's a first game for a coach. We saw, Mike Norvell couldn't even beat Georgia Tech his first game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, this green coach has never been through it.
Brian Kelly's going to be,
what do we do?
Urinating down his pants.
Good job, Matthew. And for Corey and Ira, I'm Jeff. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. We appreciate it. Be well. Don't forget to like and subscribe to War Chant TV. Take care, everybody. Till next time.